It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 3, the scripture reads, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. This particular commandment ensures that we allow God to be at the mountaintop of our life. This particular commandment is first in priority. This commandment is listed first for many reasons. Number one, it teaches the priority of our relationship. The priority of our relationship. It ensures that worship is first in our life, that God is the object of our worship. For Jesus Christ said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." This particular commandment ensures that we're seeking God, seeking his face, seeking his presence. Jesus said, "They that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth." This particular commandment ensures that we reach out with our heart, with our spirit, and we yield our spirit, and we long for him and desire him, and we desire to commune with him, to bask in his presence, to seek his face evermore. Scripture teaches to set your affections on things above. This particular commandment ensures that our love is vertical, reaching out to God, worshiping him, bowing down before him in reverence and holy worship, enjoying his presence. After individuals give their heart to Jesus Christ, after we are saved, forgiven of our sins, it's then time for us to enjoy a relationship with God. The scriptures teach that in Psalm 126 and verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." The scriptures teach in Psalm 30 verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So after the tears fall, when we're forgiven from our sins, when the tears fall, knowing that God has cleansed us and washed us, we then receive the joy of forgiveness. The burden is lifted and we receive the peace of God. And then we begin to have a relationship with him. We begin to put him first in our life, first in priority. We begin to enjoy him. We begin to walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. This particular commandment is first for a reason. It teaches a priority of relationship, that God is the object of our worship, that we sing to him and pray to him, that we hear his voice in the cool of the day, that we walk with him and fellowship with him and enjoy a rich relationship with him, enjoying his mercy and his grace, his loving kindness, his tender loving kindness, his faithfulness, his everlasting love. This is the first commandment, priority of relationship. Number two, this particular commandment also teaches a priority of need, a need for the Lord God in our life. Jesus said, "Without him, we can do nothing." God is the one that maintains and sustains our very heartbeat. Our very next breath is a gift from God. The Bible says, "In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our very being." God, in his love, has us as the apple of his eye, and at the same time, he holds us in the palm of his hand. He is maintaining and sustaining our very life. We have a need for him to enjoy him, to walk with him, and to know that without him, we can do nothing. Some individuals, from time to time, may be challenged with the spare tire syndrome. What this is that they cry out to God for a need. They have need for deliverance or to be rescued from a calamity, financial hardship, or healing in their body, and they cry out to God. They lift their hands and say, "Oh God, deliver me and save me." And God, in his mercy and in his grace and in his love, reaches down and pulls that person out of the miry clay, brings them up, dusts them off, and sets them on the path of victory. However, these individuals sometimes use the spare tire syndrome, where they forget that God has delivered them and been so good to them, and they put him back on the shelf of life and use him as a spare tire only in times of crisis or in times of deep concern. This particular commandment teaches us to be careful of the spare tire syndrome and recognize a priority of need, that we need the Lord God in the good times and in the hard times. When we're at the apex of our life or when we hit rock bottom, we need him. Whether in the penthouse or in the balcony or in the basement, we need the Lord 24 hours a day. Point number three, this particular commandment also teaches a priority of possessions. It teaches us to ensure that we do not put possessions before the Lord God. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added on to you." God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy possessions. He wants us to enjoy things. He wants us to enjoy a good meal. He wants us to enjoy our marriage. He wants us to enjoy being single in Christ, serving him. He wants us to enjoy good transportation, a good safe home, to enjoy our family and children. God wants our cup to runneth over. Jesus Christ said, "I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Yes, God wants us to enjoy possessions. However, he just does not want possessions to possess us. Yes, God wants us to enjoy possessions, to have possessions. He just does not want possessions to possess us. For God knows that if these possessions possess us, they'll slowly turn our heart away from him. They'll begin to monopolize our time. They'll begin to reprioritize our schedule. We'll begin to spend too much money on possessions, and our energies and our time and our endeavors will then be turned toward these possessions and accumulating more possessions. And slowly and surely, these possessions will turn our heart away from God. This happened in the church of Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus told the book of Ephesus that they left their first love. Possessions, someone, or something had turned the heart away from God in the church of Ephesus. Jesus Christ, in his love, gave them an answer, gave them a remedy, gave them a solution, and said, "Repent and do the first works." Go back to that honeymoon experience. Go back to when you first fell in love with me. Go back to fervent prayer and seeking my face. Go back to sweet communion and worship. Go back to reading my word and learning about me. This is a good remedy for some of us who have caused our marriage to be a little bit stagnant, or our marriage to maybe become a little bit lukewarm, losing that zest and that zeal, that fervor. We need to go back to that honeymoon experience. Go back to courting and wooing our spouse. Going back to looking deep in their eyes and doing the things that we first did to win each other over in Christ in holy matrimony. This particular test can be looked upon in the test of Job. Job, as we know, was tested. Job was a man of great patience and great endurance. And Job did not allow his possessions to dictate his relationship with God. Job lost his health. He was covered with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his children. Job lost these things with calamity after the calamity after calamity. Job lost his reputation. Even Job's wife came to him and said, "How long ye hold on to your integrity? Just curse God and die." Job's three so-called friends lambasted him for nearly 40 some odd chapters, pointed their finger in Job's face and said, "Job, you're holding back. You must be a sinner, for only God does these things to those who are in sin." They failed to understand that this attack was from the devil, and yes, that the righteous suffer also. So Job, even though he lost all of his possessions, still loved God, still served God, still believed in God. And after 42 chapters, and after Job prayed for his so-called friends, God restored him double for his trouble. Can we say the same thing today? Can we survive the test of Job when it comes to possessions? Job said, "Though he slay me, yes, will I trust in him." Can we survive the test of Job and say, "Even though I may lose my car, I'm still going to serve God. Even though I may lose my family or my children to a calamity, I'm still going to serve God. Even though I lose my wealth and have not a dime to my name, I'm still going to serve God." This is what the first commandment is teaching, a priority of possessions. And finally, point number four, this particular commandment teaches a priority of love. A priority of love. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind, all thy soul and all thy strength." So the next time someone comes to you and tells you it does not take all that to serve God, it does not take all that to praise God, you tell them what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is a priority of love, to ensure that God is the object of our love, the first object of our love, to ensure that we desire him and long for him. As David said in the book of Psalms, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul longeth for God, for the living God, as in a dry and thirsty land." David said, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The scripture teaches a priority of love, that he is our first love. The Bible teaches in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith worketh by love. Faith is motivated by love. Trusting in God, believing in God, serving God is all motivated by love. Jesus said the same thing in the book of John chapter 14, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We love him because he first loved us. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One way to gauge if our priority of love is strong is to look at how we occupy our time. How we occupy our time. What do we make time for? How do we rearrange our schedule? How do we prioritize our schedule? There are some individuals who religiously play golf on the weekends, and they have a love for the game of golf, and they ensure that there's time to play golf. Some individuals have a love for the game of bowling, and they ensure that their schedules are rearranged for bowling. They spend time and make time for bowling. The same thing should be said for us who love the Lord. Yes, we have other endeavors. There are some who play golf. There are some who spend time with family. There are some who spend time bowling. There are some who like to prepare recipes. And all this is great, but we have to ensure that we make time for the Lord, to ensure that we place Him and keep Him at the mountaintop of our life, that our schedules are rearranged for sweet prayer and sweet communion, that our schedules are rearranged and reprioritized, that we have time to get into our Word, into our Bible, that we have time to get into our prayer closet and to seek His face, that He is the priority of our love. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what we make time for, what we occupy our time doing, speaks to where our heart is and bent in that direction. So we see here that the first commandment is first for many reasons. Number one, it's a priority of our relationship, to ensure that God is the object of our worship, to ensure that we spend time in sweet communion with Him, basking in His presence, seeking His face, that we set our affections on things above, that we spend time with Him in sweet worship. After we are saved, after the tears fall on the altar and we give our heart to Christ, now it's time to enjoy the Lord in sweet relationship. For the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In other words, let us enjoy the joy of forgiveness. Let us enjoy the peace of forgiveness and enjoy a relationship with Him, putting Him first on the mountaintop of our life. Number two, it teaches a priority of need. A priority of need, teaching us that we can do nothing without Him, for in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our very being. Our next breath is a gift from God. This keeps us from using God as a spare tire only in times of crisis. This keeps us from putting God on the proverbial shelf of our life and allowing Him to collect dust in our life, but allows us to put Him first, knowing that we need Him to wake up the next morning, to sleep at night, to balance our checkbook, to love our spouse, to pray for our enemies, to forgive 70 times 7. We need Him in all these things and more. And number three, we learn that it's a priority of possessions. This commandment teaches a priority of possessions. For Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added on to you. God wants us to have possessions. He just does not want possessions to possess or have us. He wants us not to leave our first love. He wants us to endure the test of Job. And as we go through trials and tribulations in our life, as we lose things in our life, we know that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and these things are not the reason we love God or the reason we serve God. They are blessings, and God will restore us these blessings that we may lose during our trials and tribulations. And finally, point number four, we learn that this commandment teaches a priority of love. Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. David said, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, So my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul, my heart longeth after thee, as in a dry and thirsty land. David was longing for the living God. A priority of love, ensuring that everything we do is motivated by love, ensuring that God is our first love, ensuring that everything we do is a desire for Him because we love Him. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us, ensuring that we make time to love Him, making time for prayer, time to get in His Word, and time for fellowship with the believers in love. For what we make time for ensures that we love the Lord. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your love and kindness. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.